Hearts this morning. Just before I start, I just want to tell you something exciting that happened on Friday night. I don't know how many of you were able to be with us at Mark Birch Machin, but we had a great time. And we were at Cox Green School, and there's a wonderful caretaker lady called Sharon who looks after us when we use the school. She has terrible knees, pain in her hips and her back, and every month I'm there doing LDP, I watch her struggle. We've prayed for her a few times, and she's had a bit of improvement. And I said to Mark on the way out, Mark, will you just pray for Sharon? So Sharon said yes, and Mark prayed for her, sat her down, one leg longer than the other, prayed for her. I watched her leg lengthen. She said, "Ooh, got a lot of warmth in my hip." Mark said, "That's a really good sign, Sharon." And he said, "Why don't you get up and walk around?" So she did. "Oh," she said, "my knees aren't clicking. I can move. Look, I'm walking." And she went backwards and forwards. And she wasn't completely better, but she was much better. So we've been singing, God is good. He's a good, good God, and he cares for people. So that was great. It was a lovely evening of prophetic words being released and time to be refreshed by Jesus. Next time he comes down, don't miss it. It's really, really worth it. So, Andy, first slide, please. We've been reading Luke. I hope you've been reading Luke this week through our, I'm just going to drop everything now, through our Following Jesus booklet. And there have been some great stories this week. Thanks, Andy. There have been great miracles. I could have talked about some of the miracles Jesus did. But when you get to Luke 6, that's actually Jesus talking. And it occurred to me that if we're asking ourselves, what does Jesus tell me or show me about following him? It's a bit crazy to ignore what he actually says. So Luke 6, he tells us some really specific things about how we can follow him. And so we're going to look at those today. Hang on a moment. Right, so these are really important things to Jesus because he has literally just gathered his 12 disciples. He sits them down. Scripture says he looks at them intently. He's prayed all night choosing them. He's got them in front of him. He looks at them intently and he gives them his team talk. That is not a statement on any particular football team. I don't really even know who that is. It was just a good picture. So these things are vital, okay? These are the things he really, really wants them to know before they get out there with him ministering in the world. So I think we need to pay attention to them, don't you? But before we start, let me challenge you not to read these things as a new code of conduct. Okay, it's really easy to read them and think that actually this is a set of rules we've got to obey if we follow Jesus. If we do that, we're just going back and living like Old Testament people. We're just following rules to earn Jesus' approval, to do what he wants us to do. That's not what Jesus is asking. He's looking at the hearts of his disciples and, by implication, our hearts, and saying, I'm inviting you into a transformation which leads to a whole new way of living, simply because your heart is different. I'm not talking to you about towing the line. If we look back to Luke 3 that we've read, where John the Baptist is the forerunner of Jesus coming, he was preparing the people to receive Jesus' message. The scriptures we've been reading tell us John's life fulfilled what was already written years ago in the book of Isaiah. And it says this, "Listen," this is about John, "listen, you will hear a thunderous voice in the lonely wilderness telling you," and these are the words, "to wake up and get your heart ready for the coming of the Lord Jehovah." That's Jesus telling you, wake up. Get your heart ready, not get ready for a new lot of rules. Get your heart ready. And this message from John was absolutely revolutionary because he was telling the people that their hearts needed to become changed, not just their behavior. That verse carries on. "Every twisted thing in your lives must be made straight. Every dark way must be brought into the light. Wrongs righted, injustices removed." So that's things that need to be done. "But every heart of pride will be humbled. Every deception will be exposed and replaced by the truth, so that everyone, everywhere will be ready to see the life of God. So yeah, we need to live in a certain way, but it's about our heart being changed so that people can see the life that Jesus offers. And instead of finding temporary forgiveness for breaking rules, which is how they all lived through the offering of sacrifices in the temple, John was saying, actually, forgiveness for things we do wrong is a heart issue that needs to be dealt with by turning away from that stuff and turning towards God. And we hear John's message, turn away from your sins, turn to God, and prove it by a changed life. So, Jesus comes after John, he confirms this, and he reinforces this. He's talking to us this morning about having transformed hearts, and then the behaviour that flows out of that. Jesus is offering you and I a new way of living. He wants us to live with kingdom hearts. So, we're going to look this morning at our hearts. We're going to look at three things. We're going to look at our heart attitude, our heart life, and we're going to look at our health. And that's not going to be food and nutrition. So let's look at our heart attitude first of all. Now then, I've been reading Luke, as you know, in the Passion Translation. And Luke 6, this is headed up. This is the first bit of Jesus' team talk. Jesus taught them what matters most. This bit is the real bit he starts with. Now, if you read this in other places, if you've read it before, this is the Beatitudes. This is the bit, blessed are you if you're poor, blessed are you if you're hungry, if you're weeping, if you're hated, if you're insulted, if you're scorned. Hooray! We're blessed! Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that sound great? The Amplified Bible's even worse. Blessed, happy, with life, joy, and satisfaction, to be envied are you if you're poor, hungry, weeping, hated, insulted and scorned. I have struggled with these verses for years because I don't want to live like that. And I know a God who's generous and loving and kind and who gives us access to the riches of heaven. We did our offering declaration just before. Who blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. I don't think it's holy to be miserable. But we've lived like that. And I think the church has had that sort of mentality. But I've seen this bit really differently as I've understood what Jesus is saying. He's talking about his wider mission of bringing the kingdom. Because those verses say, when you are those things, the kingdom of heaven is yours. I read that as, when you are those things, yeah, you're rewarded and we'll give you the kingdom of heaven. It's really good, live like that. That's not what Jesus means. He's turning their expectations and understanding upside down. Because the people thought that the only ones who were going to inherit the kingdom of God were the ones who'd earned it, who'd been good law keepers, who'd been the Pharisees, the religious leaders. But Jesus is saying, no. My kingdom's coming to those who need it most, to those who are poor, to those who are needy, not the ones who've got it all sorted, the religious leaders. I'm coming with my kingdom of blessing and riches to those who really know that they need it. Now that sounds a bit better, doesn't it? Because when his kingdom comes, he transforms our circumstances, our poverty, our need, the places where we're in pain. He transforms them through his kingdom. That's why his kingdom comes to us when we're like that. It's not a reward for being like that. How my head's worked for the last 30-something years. Revelation. If I read you, he goes on to talk about if you're not those things. And this is where, for me, the kind of revelation came. But what sorrows await those of you who are rich in this life only? Because you've already received all the comfort you'll get. What sorrows await those of you who are complete and content with yourselves? For hunger and emptiness will come to you. What sorrows await those of you who laugh now, having received all your joy in this life only? For grief and wailing will come to you. And what sorrows await those of you who are always honoured and lauded by others. That's how your forefathers treated every other prophet. So Jesus is saying there, look at your heart attitude. If you're self-satisfied, if you're content with everything of this life only, if you grasp for riches in this life only, you won't find the kingdom of God or Jesus there. Our heart attitudes need to be different. But when things are tough, and Jesus said things could be tough for us in this world, recognize Jesus and his kingdom are there for you. And this is going to be very true for the disciples he's talking to. This is why he wanted them to get this. Because life as one of those first disciples was going to be difficult. And Jesus wanted him to know they weren't going to have masses of riches and stuff. He didn't want them to only put their trust in those things and be dissatisfied when trouble came their way. He was there with his kingdom for them there and then. And it's true for you and I. So this morning, if you're in difficulty, if you're in trouble, if you're in hardship, Jesus and his kingdom are here for you today to get hold of. So be encouraged. The kingdom of heaven is here for you. So that's the bit that matters most, he says. I think we need to let him transform our hearts and our minds around that. So I encourage you to go home and read that and let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Heart, that's heart attitude. Then he moves on to heart life. And he talks about two things. He talks about loving our enemies and not judging. Two very important things for him because they're the first things he raises with his disciples. Let's have a look at why they might be so important. Love your enemies. I've pulled out one verse from that passage in Luke 6. Jesus says this, I say to you, love your enemies and do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred. Do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred. Now, we need to remember that Jesus is talking to people who were currently oppressed by enemies. And as a nation, they had been oppressed by enemies throughout history. They knew what it was like to hate people who oppressed them and forced them to live in a way that wasn't theirs. And Jesus kind of goes mad and he gives crazy, over-the-top ways of loving your enemies. If they take your coat, give them your shirt as well. If they hit you on one cheek, let them hit you on the other. I mean, the disciples must have been thinking, what is this man on? But he was wanting to show them, actually, we need to live differently. If we're followers of Jesus, we need to live differently. And for all of us, if you look up the word enemy, it doesn't just mean war enemy. The roots of the word are hostility, hatred. Who annoys you? Who's aggravating you? Who do you not very like very much? Who are those people? Those people are part of this, your enemies. And Jesus says, do something wonderful for them in return. There's a challenge. Tom Wright, who's a theologian, says this, the kingdom that Jesus preached and lived was all about glorious, uproarious, absurd generosity. Think of the best thing you can do for the worst person and go ahead and do it for them. Think of what you'd really like someone to do for you and do it for them. Think of the people to whom you're tempted to be nasty and lavish generosity on them instead. These instructions from Jesus are all about new life bursting out energetically. That's how Jesus is asking his disciples and he's asking us as his followers to live. He's trying to make a really big point. Our Heavenly Father overflows with love and compassion for us. And he wants us to act out of the same love and forgiveness. It's at the heart of the very message that we've all believed and why we're sitting here today. Because Jesus has met us, loved us, the Father has forgiven us, poured out his compassion on us. why would we not do the same for people around us? The second thing, do not judge. Why this? Well, as I pondered this, a lot of judging is based on pride, isn't it? It's kind of looking at somebody else and ranking them next to us and trying to feel better than them, or if we feel worse, then not liking them. Back to loving our enemies. Jesus said, forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others. A lot of judgment is founded on pride. Ultimately, being proud about who we are. We do it all the time. We form judgments constantly, subconsciously, rapidly about people through stuff laid down, patterns in our brains. Pride took Satan out of heaven. Pride took Adam and Eve out of Eden. Pride takes us away from truly worshipping God as we worship ourselves. And in the process, people around us are caught in the crossfire and we judge and criticize. Jesus is saying, live free from pride. Don't judge. It's not worth it. It's not good for our hearts. It doesn't keep our hearts healthy. Love everyone extravagantly and don't judge. Now, do you remember this? Do you remember Heart Life? So we'll ignore all the detailed bits, but the basis of this is there's a line across the middle, and our challenge is to live as people above the line, to live out of humility, not pride, to live out of love, not fear. So we live in humility, we don't judge. We live in love, we don't hate our enemies. And that's like a checklist that we can use. Am I today living in humility and love? Am I reacting in this situation in humility and love or in pride and fear? Now, we talked about this. It'll have gone in your head and out your head, and some of you may remember it. But somebody who I know uses this practically is Ash. Where's Ash? Ash, where are you? Come hither. Now, I've spent some time with Ash, and Ash mentioned how she uses this on a daily basis. And I wanted her to come and tell you how she does it. And I want to encourage you to listen, because it struck me this is a really great way of us practically taking what Jesus is talking about this morning and using it day by day. So, Ash, you're a solicitor. You run your own business in Windsor. She's wonderful. If you need any legal work, she's your woman. And Ash, you use this in two ways, don't you? You use it personally, and you use it with other people. You use it in your personal life, and you use it in your business. Yes, so tell us.
Yeah. For me, it's a really simple tool and really easy checklist of where you are, what you're doing, why you're doing it, and being able to relate to other people and why they behave in a particular way. And I naturally, if someone was reacting out of fear or out of pride, I would react in the same way, and it just was causing difficulties, or not even noticing that there was difficulties. But when I saw that in church, it completely changed my life. It completely changed my attitude towards people, towards my business, towards my own family and my friends. So every time I get an immediate reaction to something, it's like I have to stop and I put myself into those boxes, and then it's a rain check of where do I really want to be, where do I want to develop myself, but also how other people should perceive me as well. And I don't want to be living out of fear. I don't want other people to fear what I'm saying or doing, and to be able to change the way you react to someone or think about something. To stay humble, to give love and to receive love is just, it's an abundance of love back, and completely changed me, completely has, yeah.
So we've got an instance where you've met somebody and there's a reaction gone on inside you. What do you do?
I go back straight to that quadrant and say, right, they've done something. Do I really want to react in the same way? And I quickly, I don't even quickly. I have a stop and think, yeah. And I go into love and humility. It's an absolutely conscious choice. It is a tool that you have to think through all the time, because it's so easy to forget that that's there, and it's so easy to react to whatever's happening to you, and just respond immediately. So you really have to have it at the back of your mind constantly.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you, Ash. And that's just such a great illustration that actually our behaviour comes out of our hearts. That's why Jesus is talking to our hearts. He's saying, let me transform your heart. So each day when you react, you can go, am I standing in humility now? Or am I standing in pride? Am I standing in love at this moment, or am I standing in fear? And we know, don't we, that all of our bad reactions to people and situations come out of pride or fear. And it's then about us as followers of Jesus going, I am going to follow him and live differently. I am going to choose my heart to walk in humility and love instead. Does that make sense? It's really practical, isn't it? So imprint that on your mind. Take a picture of it if you want to. And I just really encourage you to use that. And I was so delighted when I heard Ash say how she practically used it, because that's what this is about. It's not a fancy thing that's just nice to talk about. It's meant to be practical and to help us. And can you imagine what our workplaces, our families, our neighbourhoods, our community and our world would be like if we all lived out of hearts that were transformed into love and humility? Wouldn't that be amazing? People would go, look at those Jesus followers. I don't understand them, but they walk in love and humility. They are good news. I want to live like that. The third one is, I've lost my sheet of paper, is our heart health. And this is specifically about what we store in our hearts. Good things or bad things. And this Jesus finishes with this. So he's talked to them about all these things, and then he goes, guys, it's really important you look after your hearts. Guys, it's really important we look after our hearts. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. The evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And people will see Jesus in how we live, what we say. We need to live differently and show him his kingdom is different. He's a God of love and grace and forgiveness. How do we look after our heart health? We spend time with Jesus. First of all, we need time with Jesus in our daily lives. Moments where we pause and we go, I just turn my heart back to you, Jesus. And then carry on with our day. As well as longer times, maybe first thing in the morning. Time where we read his word. His word will transform your life. That's why we're doing these. So grab one and do it. Philippians 4 verse 8, I'm not going to be able to remember it all. Whatever is good, noble, true, pure, think on these things. What are we going to fill our hearts with? Are we going to watch rubbish? Are we going to listen to gossip? Are we going to listen to watch terrible movies on the television that stick stuff in our heart, which is so unhealthy? What treasure are we going to put in? Are we going to focus on the good, on the true, on the pure, or muck around in the bad stuff? They're just practical choices for us day by day. What are we going to watch? What are we going to listen to? What are we going to give our attention to? Mark, who was here on Friday, has a great saying, what you focus on is what you become. It's really interesting, isn't it? And Jesus isn't saying this as rules for us. He's saying, I would want your hearts to be healthy and alive for me. So, conclusion. Jesus finishes his team talk with this bit. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Another translation. What good does it do for you to say that I am your Lord and Master if what I teach you is not put into practice? And that's the challenge as we're following Jesus. We can read it and not do anything with it. It doesn't do us any good. His challenge this morning is follow me. Luke 6, his team talk, follow me, follow me. And, you know, as I've said, and I'll say again, obeying Jesus isn't just about following rules, but hearing what he says and not doing it is disastrous. And he gives us a really vivid picture right at the end of his team talk of what it's like for our lives if we hear and we don't do. We do a Bible reading and we ignore it. We don't put it into practice. Now, the picture is about wise and foolish men building houses. And I'm a Sunday school girl. When I was little, my mum and dad took me to the Methodist church. We went every week. There was a song I loved. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rain came tumbling down. So many of you know it. The rain went down and the floods went whoosh. That was a bit I liked. The rain came down and the floods went whoosh. The rain came down and the floods went whoosh. And the house on the rock stood firm. It repeats. I won't inflict any more on you. About the foolish man building his house on the sand. And the rains came down and the floods went whoosh. The rains came down and the floods went. The rains came down and the floods went whoosh and the house on the sand. And that was a great bit because you could make an enormous noise. And I was brought up to be very quiet. In Sunday school, you didn't make any noises. We were really good children. You could make a really big noise at that point. But you know what it's done? It stuck it in my mind, but it made it funny. So it made that point where Jesus says, what good does it do you if you don't listen to my words? It made it a bit of a joke. Let me show you a little video clip of what Jesus actually meant. The house is the life of the person who listens to Jesus and doesn't do what he says. It's a bit sobering, isn't it? That's what Jesus actually meant. When storms come, when stuff presses against us, disasters in our lives, trauma and tragedy, if our lives, our hearts aren't founded on Jesus, our houses fall down. Not literally, but we crumble. So Jesus is saying to his disciples right at the outset, guys, these are the most important things. Your heart attitude, loving your enemies, not judging people. What are you going to put in your hearts? And listen to me, please, guys. That's what he's saying to them. Don't be people whose houses fall down. So just to conclude, Jesus wants us to live free, joyful, generous lives. When we do that, and out of those lives, we outrageously bless those around us. His kingdom will take over this world. And to do that, we need to focus not on following rules, but on allowing him to transform our hearts as we walk in relationship with him. So, I want to encourage you to think about these things. I want to encourage you, if you haven't read Luke 6, or even if you have, go away and read it this week. Ponder it. They're the things Jesus says, and they're really important for us. And I also encourage you to remember the heart-life quadrants, the pride, humility, the fear, and love. Try and remember that. It's a really helpful tool.